We're going to add a new dimension to our learning of Chumash. We had a couple of new dimensions to our learning of Chumash, in part with what we're about to start right now. We grew up learning Chumash with Rashi, as it should be. And Rashi is focused, thank you so much. Anyone not have? Rashi's focus, Rashi trains us to look pasuk by pasuk. A pasuk, a Rashi. A pasuk, a Rashi. A phrase, a Rashi. Another phrase in pasuk, a Rashi. Rashi's angle, Rashi's perspective is very local, and he trains us to be sensitive to every pasuk, to be sensitive to the nuances of language in each pasuk. The Ramban, as far as I know, is the first mefarish, certainly the first major mefarish, to do something totally new in his Pirush HaTorah. I'll tell you what it is. Number one, you should appreciate, just like it's the same Rashi who guides us in Gemara is the one who guides us in Chumash. And the first time you learned a Rashi in Chumash, you could not possibly have appreciated that because you had never learned Gemara. It's important also to recognize that the Ramban will begin to guide us in Chumash as well. Some of you have already had the opportunity to learn Ramban on the Torah. For other you, this will be the first time. And it's going to be the same Ramban who guides us in Gemara, who guides us in Chumash. And it's important to recognize that amongst all the Rishonim, just earlier this week, I got to see Ramban Beis Midrasho, Ramban with his Talmud the Rashba, with his Talmud's Talmud the Ramban, with his Chaver Ben Yonah. The Ramban is probably unique among the Rishonim, among all the Rishonim with whom we're familiar. Rashi and Ben Otam and the Ri and the Riva and the Rashmi Shans and the Rambam and the Ri Megash and the Rif and the Aruch and the Ritva and the Rashba and the Mukha Yosef and on and the Ra'a and the Baal Amar and on and on and on and all. All the famous and less famous names of Rishonim, the Ramban is probably unique among all of them in that he wrote major svarim in more genres than anyone else. The Rashba is famous for his Chiddush Manshas, and we also have Tshuvas, we also have a Sefer of Halach. Rashi is famous for his Pirush al Torah, and we have his Pirush al Chumash, we have some Tshuvas. The Ramban wrote Chiddush Manshas, he wrote major Hasagas on the Baal HaMor, the bottom of the Rift, on Mulchamos. He wrote very significant, the Hasagas on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he wrote Tshuvas, and he wrote letters, and he wrote a Pirush al HaTorah, and he wrote a Pirush on several Svarim of Tanakh, and he wrote essays in Machshava, and he wrote on Kabbalah, and every genre you can think of, and he wrote a major Sefer Halacha, the Torah Sa'adam. He wrote monumental Svarim in so many different genres. He's unbelievably prolific, the Ramban, unbelievably. And when you start to learn Ramban and Mulchamas, so you notice that the Ramban's language is also very, very dense. Some point out that those three generations in a row, Sfardi Rishonim, Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, how often are the backbone, or one of the backbones, one of the axes of how we learn a Pasugya. So you could watch, you're just looking at their Chidushim and Shas, you could see the sort of the unfolding of language. Ramban is very, very dense, sometimes very hard to make out. The Rashba already talks more, and the Ritva is very, very smooth. Very, very easy, relatively speaking, to read, to put together. He's mamash taking you off in line by line through the sugya. The Ramban is very, very dense. He's very dense in the Chidushim, he's very dense in the Mulchamas, and he's very, very nuanced and dense in the way he writes Ramban al Torah. If you open up Ramban al Torah, then when you're looking at one of the Gedolei Rishonim, who is so, so, so prolific in so many different styles of Sefer writing, and in so many different fields of Torah. He's so prolific in Tanakh, and he's so prolific in Machshav, and he's so prolific in Shas, and he's so prolific in Halacha, and on and on. And a man whose language is so dense, maybe that's related to the fact that he was also a poet. We have poems that Ramban wrote as well. And even in the Pirush HaTorah in particular, he breaks new ground. He was not the first one to write a Pirush HaTorah. He may have been the first one who wrote Pirush HaTorah, who also wrote all of the other types of Svarim that I just mentioned. But more than that, even zeroing in the Pirush HaTorah, listen carefully. You know what he did? As far as I know, he's the first one to do it. First, certainly the first major Rishon to do the following. To write a Pirush on Chumash, which is not only Pasuk by Pasuk, it is, but he also writes a Hakdama to every single Sefer Chumash. What is Bereshis about? What is Bamidbar about? I never even asked myself that question. What's Shmos about? I don't know. Like I learned Parshas Shmos, and I learned Parshas Kisisa, and I tried to learn Vayakel. What's Sefer Shmos about? Oh, it's there. I don't know. It's a whole series of Parshas. No? No, Rabban says. It's also a Sefer. There's Chumash. Chumash is a single unit, but composed of five coherent, individually coherent subunits, and let's figure out what Bereshis is about. And let's figure out what Shmos is about. Let's figure out what Bamidbar is about. The very fact that he was not the last, but I think he was the first to write Hagadamas to the Svarim, a number of Achronim who were inspired by him, famously the Nitziv and others who wrote Hagadamas to the Svarim as well. And it's all, I believe, the Hashpah of the Ramban. Ramban is the first one to do it. And what it tells you, so why is that so significant? What it tells you, now, hey, that's an interesting question. Taka, what is Shmos about? And Mishnah, when we get to Chumash Shmos, we'll dig into that question a little bit, because Chumash Shmos is sort of a funny portmanteau. It's like, sort of like a bunch of different things thrown together. You can see this Mitzrayim, and then you have Matan Torah, and then you have the Mishkan, which maybe should have belonged more with the beginning of Vayikra instead of the end of Shmos. The way the Rambam has it in Mishnah Torah, where he opens Sefer Avoda with Beis HaBechira, Truma, and then Kalei HaMikdash Ra'odim Bo Tetzaveh. And then it goes on to Maaser Karbanos and all the other areas of Hilchos Karbanos. So that talk of that, come to think of it, that is really strange. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to organize? Rambam was a marvelous human organizer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the ultimate organizer. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to put Truman Tzaviyak Pigudin? What's it doing in Shmos? Should be the beginning of Vayikra. Should be Sefer Truma. Truma Tetzaveh, Vayakla Pikudei, Vayikra Tzav Shmini. That would have made, offhand, a whole lot of sense. Taka, what is Pshat? What's that Kadosh Baruch Hu driving at? So number one, the Bechlal, the Ramban's going to get us to think about some interesting questions we haven't thought about before. But more than those specific questions, Ramban, the fact that he's asking those questions, the fact that he's consistently writing a Hakdama to each Sefer, that's an expression of a new global perspective that he's bringing to the table. In addition to teaching us to look line by line, as Rashi also does, he's also going to teach us to look not only at the trees, but also at the forest. And we're going to see over the course of learning Ramban, you're going to have sort of a lot of levels. Sometimes he's mamish very zeroed in on a specific pasuk or two pasuk, or sometimes even a piece of a pasuk, a word, and sometimes he's zoomed out to the whole sefer. And sometimes it's also sort of in between. Like, he's going to talk more than Rashi would. Like, what does this parsha as a whole mean? Different, there's sort of different degrees of zooming in and zooming out. And it's also sort of different types of questions. He's going to be focused on the pratiyistic questions. He's also going to focus on the bigger questions. And we're going to find the Ramban, like I was saying before, number one, right, he's going to teach us to look at the big picture in ways that we haven't until now. And, as I said before, he's someone who had written so much in so many different styles on so many different fields of Torah. We're going to see that just within the Pirush Torah alone. Sometimes he's involved in Parashanut, figuring out the words and figuring out the flow of the Pesukim. Sometimes he's involved in Medrash. Sometimes he's involved in Halacha. Often he'll be involved in Machshava. Sometimes he'll even get into Kabbalah. So the Kabbalah, we're going to follow the Ramban's instructions in general. Ramban writes in the Hakdama to the Sefer, beginning of Bereshis, that I am including some Kabbalah also. That's for those who are initiated. He says, if you're not initiated, even if you think you know what I'm talking about, I promise you don't know what I'm talking about, then don't even bother. So we will, in general, there's maybe one or two exceptions, we will, in general, follow Ramban's instructions. And when he says, Al Derech HaEmes, that's our cue to skip to the next pasuk. But the Ramban's going to be an incredible treat. Ramban's going to be an incredible treat for all of us, and we'll see the new types of perspectives that he'll train us in, and the new range also of topics and of layers of what's going on in Chumash, understanding the Machshava, and some of you have already met some of those uber famous Rambans on Machshava, Kedoshim Tiyu, and Parshas Bo. Baruch Hashem, Ramban actually wrote more than three, there are more than three Rambans on Machshava. There are three most famous ones. And then the other 1,003 less famous ones. Hopefully over the course of the year, we'll have a chance to explore and to enjoy and to begin to say the Ramban. Hopefully this is a Batoras, an invitation to you, once you're hooked, to want to learn more, whether it's this year or in the future. And also see what I'm describing, the Ramban's going to grow a perspective in multiple dimensions, grow a perspective in terms of looking locally but also globally, and in terms of different types of learning. The halacha, the machshava, the medrash, the pshat, and so forth, it's going to build. We'll see one Ramban, that'll be nice, but the cumulative impact of learning and learning, exposure Ramban again and again, that'll be very significant. In addition to the question of scale, how zoomed in or zoomed out you are, and the question of the different fields of learning that could be happening within one pasuk, halacha, agada, and so forth, is also learning Ramban repeatedly will also train us. The third piece, I mentioned before about his language. Ramban's language is very, very knotty, in many different svarim, and there can be great gems for us to find in a milchamas on the sugya, on the bottom of the riff, on the sugya that we're learning, but you have to mamish, to get at those gems, you have to do a lot of digging through the heavy language of the Ramban often. Sometimes it's very easy to understand, but often it's heavy duty. You're learning Ramban al Torah, in addition to what he offers us in terms of learning Chumash, he's also, it's sometimes an easier way to begin to develop sensitivity to how the Ramban works. We're going to see the Ramban al Torah also is a lot of subtlety, and often, like in a phrase, he has a lot to say. And often, I don't know how much we'll see that today, often, like he says his kashas very subtly, he says his terutzim very subtly, and learning Ramban la Torah with open eyes can train us to read more sensitively, which can help us with other Rambans or other parts of our learning as well. So without any further ado, let's take a look. I want to explore the last Ramban in Perek Chaf Zayin. Parshas Kisavo is a transitional, please. Parshas Kisavo is a transitional parsha. We are in Chumash Devarim. Chumash Devarim is, that's probably one of the easier part, Chumashim to say, what is Chumash Devarim as a whole? At least loosely speaking, Chumash Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu's final drasha to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu's final presentation to Klal Yisrael. Chumash Devarim opens with which date? The very beginning of Chumash Devarim opens with Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the first day of the 11th month. And as you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal's tradition, Moshe Rabbeinu passes away on Zayin Adar, the Chumash Devarim, that's the last event described is the passing and the obituary for Moshe Rabbeinu in the final psukim of Vezos HaBracha. So Chumash Devarim spans a month and a week, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, until Zayin Adar, and it's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Klal Yisrael. Almost all of Chumash Devarim, except at the very end, is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Klal Yisrael. That's how it opens. Eilat Devarim. These are the things, these are the words, these are the ideas that Moshe Rabbeinu presented to Klal Yisrael in his final presentation before he passes away. This is it. This is the summation. Now, over the course of Chumash Devarim, writ large, so he starts with what we could say loosely is Agada. He starts with Machshava and with history and with Musar, Devarim, Va'aschanan, Ekev, Interreh, a little bit of Halacha mixed in. But mostly, those first three and change parshas, up until the middle of Inter A, is mostly Agada, is mostly Machshava and history, Musar. And then, once you get in deeper into A, he switches to Halacha, switches to teaching mitzvahs, and then takes you through the rest of the Re'eh, and Shoftim, and Kiseitze have all been very, very dense with Dinim, Kiseitze in particular. And then we just had a chance to hear Shkar Zevi. The beginning of Parsha Kisavo this morning is still continuing with the Dinim, up until the middle of Kisavo. And then there's a shift. And after the opening Dinim of Mikra Bikurim and Bidui Meiser, then Moshe Rabbeinu turns back into more of a machshava dikamod. He begins to talk again about the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, the uniqueness of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is Ma'amir us, and we're Ma'amir him. And then the end of Kisavo is certainly in a machshava mode, agadata mode. This is the brachas and klalas, the second set of brachas and klalas, the tochacha of Kisavo. And in between is an intriguing quasi-mitzvah. What do you mean by a quasi, a semi-mitzvah? It's a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah. It's halachic instructions that Klal Yisrael kept once in history. They're told in Perek of Zayin, you're going to come, you're going to cross the Yarden, you're going to find Har Grizim and Har Eval. They're right near opposite where they cross the Yarden. In the area, overall in the area of Shechem, there is a Jewish community on Har Grizim nowadays, called Har Bracha. Called Har Bracha because the Torah describes they're going to have half the Shvatim and Har Grizim, half the Shvatim and Har Eval, and there's going to be a public recital of brachos and klalos. The brachos will be said by the Levim in the middle, in between the two mountains, in the saddle, in the river, in the saddle valley, in between the two mountains. They say the brachos facing Har Grizim, let's say the klalos facing Har Eval. And the Torah describes, the Torah gives you all the curses, and we can figure out what the brachos are. One curse is, curses the one who makes an avodah zarah. Obviously, blesses the one who doesn't make an avodah zarah. Curses the one who makla of the imo, mezalzel on his parents, and blesses the one who is only the nizarah and is not mezalzel on his parents. Hasagas gvul, people who take advantage of other people, so on and so forth. Several of the arayo superior, curses the one who violates. This type of gila arise, curses the one who violates. That type of gila arise, and Baruch is the one who doesn't. And then the psalm go on. Back to Benam Lachaveros. Curses of what Makareu Beseser. Stabs someone in the back. Curse on him. A bracha for someone who's only been his own, rises above and doesn't stab someone in the back. Curses the one who takes, is corrupt, who takes shochad. Curses the one who takes, accepts a bribe and distorts justice. Could be very tempting. And it's deeply, deeply, deeply disturbing in that individual case, and it can eat away, corrode society. Baruch is the one who rises above that and doesn't take shochad, doesn't take a bribe. And finally, the pasuk says, at the end, the last of, I believe it's 11 curses, Arur Asher Lo Yakim, and this you have on the page in front of you, pasuk Chavav, the Dibra Masel there, Amban, Arur Asher Lo Yakim is Divrei HaTorah Hazos. Cursed is the one who doesn't literally pick up the words of this Torah. There are a whole list of specifics, and different types of specifics, Agili Arayos, and Be'am Lachavero, and Vodazara, a host of different specifics, and then sort of this general sounding puzzle. So what taka does it mean? What taka does it mean? So Ramban says, what does it mean? As he so often does, he opens with Rashi. Kam kolos kolatera kula. This final aror, this final curse, includes the whole Torah. Kibelua aleihem ba'alav b'shvua. They're makabel the whole Torah. Not only this is what we promised to do, but we're swearing, and with the call of this curse as well. Under pain of the curse, if we don't keep the Torah. That's Lashon Rashi. What's Rashi trying to accomplish by saying that? What problem is he solving?
What do the words mean?
What do the words mean, number one? It's a little vague. Good. Number two, not only is he explaining what does it mean to not be making the Torah, and his answer is, it means that, as we would say, in rabbinic Hebrew, not to mekayim the Torah, not to keep the halacha. It's called another problem, which is...
They already swore to keep the Torah.
Okay, we already swore to keep the Torah. So now we say, well, this is also with a shvur. This is also with a kala. Good. And also, thinking about this list... Okay, the number is interesting. The number is interesting. You also might wonder, but only these 10 items are ba'ala, and everything else is not? Right. So on the one hand, he's explaining what does this vague pasuk mean, and he's also dealing with how about all the demons that don't appear. So Rashi says those first 10, those are being specified, but everything's included. Everything is included because the last pasuk is a catch-all pasuk. That's Rashi's approach. So
I think, ki ha-kabbalah ha-zos, she-yodeh b'mitzvos b'libo, yu ve'in ha-memes. He says, I don't agree with Rashi. Rashi sees this as not adding any new material, not adding an item 11, but just including everything. Haman says, no, I think this is an item 11. Just like there was one aura that was dedicated to making avodah zarah, another aura that was dedicated to this particular type of gilui arayos, another aura that was dedicated to the chet of receiving, of accepting a bribe, that sort of judicial corruption, this is also about something specific. Yeah, Kabbalah Azaz, what are they accepting by saying amen to this bracha and kalala? She yodeh mitzvot b'libo. That I agree to the mitzvahs. I accept them. Not just that I plan to keep them, which is what Rashi had said. You be'ein of emes. That I believe that these are true and real. Yamin sha, what does that mean? Yamin, I would have thought that means that I believe that all the mitzvahs were given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And neither Moshe nor Ezra nor any other Jewish leader just made up the mitzvahs on his own. Rabban says even more than that. That is one of the animamins. We're going for another one as well. Yamin sha osa osa yilo sachar v'tovah. And I also believe not only that the mitzvahs are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that there are human consequences for the mitzvahs. I keep the mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it matters to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it matters in the long term to me. That there's schar and overlayim yonesh. There's schar of yonesh. Or if you don't want to be grammatical, there's sachar of yonesh. That there's multiple animamins here. We believe in the veracity of Torah, and the Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also respond. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not some watchmaker who set the world up and then walked away and doesn't care what's going on that little planet Earth. Why would a transcending God care about a couple of billion human beings running around on the planet? There were Kofrim who thought that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world but no longer cares. No. We believe not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us and the Torah, both, that he also, it matters to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is transcendent, he's also immanent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is way above everything, but yet he also, he cares about you and I. He's Melech HaOlam, but he's also Elokeinu. He's master of the universe, but he's also our God. There's now that there are mitzvahs, there's a world that's created by him, and the Torah that was created by him, and that he gave to us, but there's Schar V'Yonesh. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will react to our decision. But I do, whatever really matters. I have an Isayim, and it's hard to do the right thing, and no one knows. And if no one knows, no one cares, it doesn't really matter. Kadosh Baruch Hu matters to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu values your Amidah Bin Isayim. There is Schar V'Yonesh. Wow. That, says Ramban, is this closing aura. If Yichbar Ba'achas Mehen, Otiya Be'en of Betela, the Olam, Hinehu Arur. So what does it mean? So this curse applies to whom? This curse applies to whom? He says, this applies to someone who denies the validity of one of the mitzvahs. Or who thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu either says this mitzvah never came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to begin with, or who thinks, yeah, God gave us the mitzvahs, but then he changed his mind. That is classic Christian and Muslim doctrine, both of them. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, but then there was a version 2. It was an upgrade, 2.0, 3.0. Right? Christianity sees itself as Judaism 2.0. Islam sees itself as perhaps Judaism 3.0. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, but then he came back and said, I'm back, and here are the patches. Here are the mods. Here are the changes. We reject that utterly. It's the Muslim doctrine, I think in Christian terminology it's called supersession, maybe. In Islam, I think it's called waqf. The notion that Muhammad was a superior prophet who came to cancel the details of Torah's Moshe. And we reject that as false and, frankly, a little bit silly. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells in the Chumash that he's not sending any Navi, he does not plan to send Navi who's going to be superior. And then, as the Kuzri has pointed out, both Christianity and Islam base themselves on the foundation of Yadus, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came back and said, now I'm changing it, even though he told us in his Torah 1,000 or 2,000 years earlier that he wasn't planning to change it.
So that's one of the several reasons why this is not only false but a little ridiculous. More than a little ridiculous. So if a person subscribes to that, either his kofar in one of the mitzvahs thinks this mitzvah was never given by Kadosh Baruch Hu to begin with, Moshe made it up, Ezra made it up, Yoshio made it up, or he says that Kadosh Baruch Hu did give us the mitzvahs, but then they got changed, there's betela liola, harehu ar, that's what this last ar is. It's an ar about a bracha and an ar about emuna or lack thereof. And Rabban says, I want to be clear, that's not the same as giving into temptation. Im ar al achas mehem, a fellow violates a mitzvah. Yom tov al chazir, v'hashekets l'tav asam. He gave into temptation, and he had a ham sandwich. He gave into temptation, and he had the shrimp, lobster, shekets. Or, shal also suka v'lula li'atzla. He was lazy, and he couldn't be bothered. Build a suka, too much work. Or, the sukkah is built. I'll go out to the sukkah. I'll just have a sandwich in the house. Oh, I'm ready. I have my pajamas. Well, you're not sleeping in the sukkah, that's question number one. But you're in his pajamas. Sometimes it's legitimate. Not sleeping in the sukkah. Sometimes not. Okay, separate conversation for a different time. Is he ready? Half to sleep and then he gets up. He's really hungry. He wants a midnight snack. And then he's going rustling through the refrigerator. And he goes, oh, my sukkah. So I should take the midnight snack. I should get my sneakers and go out to the sukkah with my midnight snack. I mean, what your midnight snack? You know. If you have an apple, nah. If you have one cookie, maybe also not. If you have a whole box of cookies, then that definitely requires a sukkah. Ah, but I'm too lazy. I got the wrong thing. He violated the din. Maybe even amazing. He knows that this is wrong. He does it anyways. But not because he doesn't believe, because he gives into temptation. The flesh is weak. He's tempted, he's lazy. That's what we call l'te'avam. Rabban says, if a fellow violates the din l'te'avam, an amateur is that. That's not what this curse is. Unlike, why is Rabban stressing that? That here's this out person is not included. Why is Rabban stressing that? Based on the previous few lines. Right, the Rashi said, everything is included. A Jew doesn't keep any mitzvah. Or, whoa, that's... Now we're beginning to recognize Ramban is pointing out subtly how incredibly inclusive in a frightening way is that Rashi. Every single din is Ba'ar. Not just the first 10 that the Torah listed were heavy duty items. We understand that Gil Arayis is very Chamor. We understand. We were talking the other day in the Gittin context about Chamurim and Kalim and in the Yuma context. So we understand. There is a range. Every mitzvah matters, and within all the mitzvahs, all of which matter, there is a range of chamor and kal. And we understand. Avodah Zarah is chamor, and shochad is chamor, and gilad rais is chamor. Okay, but now you tell me every single din is ba'ar. Rashi says. Rabban says, well, no, I don't think so. And how does he know? Not because. Oh, how could it be? No, because he read the chumash carefully. Ki lo amar ha-kasiv asher lo yaseh ha-divrei ha-Torah azos. Elo amar asher lo yokim is divrei ha-Torah azos la-asos. There's a pair of verbs. It didn't say someone's not going to do the Torah. It says not, someone's not going to make him the Torah to do it. Let me make him the Torah. Let me make him the Torah. Ketam kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. Oh! He says, where else do I find that terminology in a much later sefer in Megillas Esther? Kimu v'kibul ha'yudim. What do Chazal say? What's the point? You just sort of mention that pasuk goes on. How does that pasuk do anything? Oh, the Gemara comments kimu v'kibul kvar. Gemara comments that what that pasuk is describing is a reacceptance of the Torah by Kal Yisrael. That the Kal Yisrael, 1,000 years earlier, had accepted the Torah. The Maral understands the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Kafal Harkigigas." The Maral explains, "What does Hakadosh Baruch Hu held a mountain to our heads?" He says, "Like if I say Hakadosh Baruch Hu held a gun to our heads, you wouldn't interpret that literally as meaning that there was a mile long gun that Hakadosh Baruch Hu was suspended in the air. Hakadosh Baruch Hu could do that. Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the universe. He could do anything he wants to. But you would have understood if I said God held a gun to our heads. That means." It's an expression. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu coerced us. Maral says that's what it means there as well. Kafal and Har A gigas, a barrel, was the gun of 3,000 years ago. It doesn't mean literally that Kadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain overhead. It means something much more powerful than that, says Maral. It means that for a moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everything totally clear. For a moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled away all the mechitzas. Al Mazeh by design, we'll get this more soon in Mesilas Yesharim, in Paragalf. Al Mazeh by divine design is often hard to figure out. By divine design, intentional divine design, it's often not obvious what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing. And all, very often in life, the wrong thing seems more attractive. That's by design. That gives us the chance to be Omer B'Nisayon. If everything was obvious, it would be known as Yonos. Of course you wouldn't do that. For a moment, though, Kadosh Baruch Hu, at the time of Matan Torah, pulls away all the mask and all the fog and anything that, for a moment, everything was more, that caused a total moral and spiritual clarity. For a moment, it was so obvious that why would I possibly choose otherwise? Mashal ma'adav radona. You're hiking along an escarpment. An escarpment is a ridge that wraps around a mountain. Right? So you have on one side you have the mountain face going up, on the other side you have the cliff going down. Hiking an escarpment. So, in theory, you do have the physical bechir kashas to walk off the side. But anyone who is healthy and well adapted, in theory, my legs could. I have muscles in my legs. I could choose to make a left turn or right turn. But I'm not actually going to choose that. Of course, that's absurd. I'm not going to walk off the side. My healthy instinct for self-preservation will keep me on the path. This is obvious. Of course, I'm walking straight. So for a moment, it was as clear to Klal Yisrael that to live a life other than a life of mitzvahs was made about as much sense as walking up a cliff. This is ridiculous. Usually, by divine design, it's not obvious. And oftentimes, the wrong decision seems attractive, and the wrong decision seems satisfying, and the wrong decision seems like a better lifestyle. For a moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clears everything away. Kafalei harkei gigas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us no choice. It would have been absurd to choose anything else. Gemara says, 1,000 years later, they were long after the time of Pesach and Shavuos and Nisim Gluyim, at the end of the story of Purim, where they noticed HaKadosh Baruch Hu operating their lives in obvious, natural-seeming ways, they re-accepted Torah without any razzle-dazzle. I don't see how it's obvious. And Kali Yisrael said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu often, we see from the Purim story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu often operates in obviously, we're all in. So Kimu Mashakiblu Kvar, Kimu Vikiblu, the Gemara says, was a re-Kabbalah HaTorah. Oh, so what's Ramban's point? I mean, Likayim doesn't mean to do, that's the law of Sos. That doesn't have to do with performance. Likayim means acceptance. I buy into the system. I subscribe to Halacha. Kalal Yisrael renewed their subscription to Torah Mitzvahs at the time of the Purim story, the denouement when everything came together, and that's referred to in the Tanakh as Lekayim, Kimu V'Kiblu. It's a Kabbalah, it's not an Asiya. So it says Ramban, that's what's going on here. It doesn't say Ar Shalom Yase, it says Ar Shalom Yakim. What do you mean to pick up the Torah? He says that means not the day-to-day, what do I do? Do I win over my Yetzirah or not? But it means fundamentally, who am I? What's my operating system? What's my belief system? A person, we all make mistakes. Everyone does Averis. But the Ramban said, but there's a difference between rejecting the system versus, I believe in the system, and it's hard. I believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me mitzvahs. I believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about mitzvahs. And guess what? I also care. But sometimes it's hard, and sometimes I slip, and sometimes I give in to temptation. Ramban says, I'm not excusing that. It's not okay to give in to temptation. It's wrong. I need to seek over time to achieve greater self-mastery. But understand, he says, that even if I give in to temptation sometimes, not only do I have successes other times, but all the time I have the fundamental success of making Es HaTorah. I buy into the system. I believe in this. I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I believe in the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares. And it's I didn't give in to temptation because I don't believe. I gave in to temptation because taiva overwhelmed me. Because laziness overwhelmed me. It could be a taiva ben la'makom. It could be a taiva ben la'chadero. It could be carnal desire. It could be desire for food. It could be desire for convenience and laziness. It could be desire for social acceptance. What's the taiva of speaking Lashon Hara? What's the taiva of making fun of people? It's a bizarre taiva. The Chafetz Chaim points out. What's your gain by talking about other people? You just start looking at the mirror. So it's strange. Look at the microscope. What's your gain? I understand. You had a good steak, so you enjoyed that experience. It may not have been kosher, so it was a bad choice to make, but we understand what the draw was. What was the draw to speak ill of other people? It's a funny one. It's not a physical desire, it's a social desire. It strokes my ego, I feel more in with a certain crowd, I feel better about myself in a shallow way because I put someone else down, whatever it is. So we all have all sorts of taivas, and we seek to overcome them, we seek to master them, we seek to develop self-discipline, and sometimes we fall. But Rabban says, but you haven't stopped being naked. You, when you fell and you did the wrong thing, you weren't being Oses Divrei HaTorah. But you were still being naked as Divrei HaTorah. This last horror is when a person stops being naked. A person stops subscribing to the system. That already, that lack of underlying emunah, and that's what the Rabban, that's what this quote is about. As he says in the very next line, Behinehu, and this is a five-word summary of everything he said up until now. In other words, this is a chayrim, a curse, against people who rebel against the whole Torah system. People who deny emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Torah min HaShemayim, in Schar B'Yomesh. Rabban says, as Elisha was saying, it's much more narrow and less frightening than the way Rashi put it. Then, that's approach number one. He presented Rashi, that's approach number one. Then the Ramban's first approach, approach number two. Lefi Daiti, here's what I think. And then he quotes in Yerushalmi, Ubi Yerushalmi Besota Ra'isi. They found Yerushalmi that seems to address this. Asher lo Yokim, you see that? It's like where like the line begins with the word Ra'isi, right after number 67. Asher lo Yokim. A person doesn't pick up the Torah, if yesh Torah no fellas, then Yerushalmi is bothered by this question. What does that mean? Like you pick up the Torah, the Torah fell, and you picked it up. A physical sefer Torah could fall, but the Torah is concept. The Torah is falling, you're picking it up. Rabbi Shimon ben Yakin Omer Zehachazen. So the Amor Rabbi Shimon ben Yakin said that's a reference to the Chazan. To the Chazan, which the Chazal used the terminology Chazan to mean a Gabbai or a Shamus. Not, we use Chazan to mean the Shliach Tzibur, a cantor. Chazal used the Chazan, you see, Mishnayis, in Yuma and elsewhere. Chazan was a person who, the Gabbai or the Shamus, a person who organized things in Shul. Rishimah said, we have to what that mean. Well, what's the Chazan doing? How is the Chazan being making the Torah? Rishimah Chalafta says that Bezin Shalmaton. This is what the Bavli would call Bezin Shal Mata. The Bezin down here can be making the Torah. The Mar of Yehuda, Rav Huna, B'Shem Shmuel, Al Hadavar Hazeh Kara Yoshiyahu, V'Amar Alay Lahakim. Ah! What do you mean, the second approach to Yerushalmi, this is a reference to the Bezin Shal Mata, to the human leadership of Kal Yisrael, like the way Yoshiyahu is described. You know the famous story of Yoshiyahu HaMelech? How many people here have learned Sefer Melachim? Okay, not bad. Wow. Yoshiyahu is pretty deep into Sefer Melachim. We're going talking deep into Melachim Biz. Yoshiyahu is the last real king of the Jews in the Bais Rishon. He was the last sovereign king of the Jews. There are a number of kings that come after him, all descendants, various descendants of his, but they're not really in charge. All of his descendants are puppets installed either by Ashur or by Mitzrayim or by Babel, until finally Nebuchadnezzar comes and utterly destroys the Jewish community of Shalayim, and destroys the Beis HaMikdash, and carts away Tzidkiyahu, and just installs Gedaliah as a as an imperial governor, and we'll get to the story of Gedaliah B'li Neder on Tzom Gedaliah. It's a fascinating and important story. But Yoshio is the last free king of the Jews. And the Torah says that the Psukim in Melachim have a number of stories of Yoshio. Some which are very inspiring. Yoshio led one of the greatest tshuva movements in Jewish history. Kol Yisrael had fallen very, 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 very far from its previous height. Its last peak had been under Yoshio's great grandfather, whose name was, anyone know? Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech had been one of the greatest of the Malchei Yehuda, and had raised Kol Yisrael's level, the southern kingdom, tremendously in terms of learning, in terms of Avos Hashem. Under him, Malchus Yehuda was spiritually in a very good place. But then Yoshi Chizkiyahu had a son and a grandson who were both deeply, deeply devoted to Avodah Zarah. And Kol Yisrael had fallen very far over the decades. Yoshio is the third in line. He's the great grandson of Chizkiyahu. And things are not great spiritually. And they find the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, and that sparks. They open the Sefer Torah, and it's Psukim of Tochacha, and the Psukim about the king in particular, and he realizes, Alayla Hakim. Yoshio says, this is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's on me. It's on me to be Mekim. I'm the king, this is my responsibility. I got to step up to the plate, and he does. And he launches an unbelievably successful tshuva movement. He thought he got 100% success, sure heard over Tisha B'Av's. He wasn't as successful as he thought, but he accomplished tremendously. And what are the opening words? The first phrase of that whole multi-year tshuva movement, the first two words are, Rabban quotes, Alai Lahakim. Alai Lahakim, it's on me to make him. Ah! So Yerushalmi says, that's this pasuk. Or asher lo yakim, baruch asher yakim. The leadership has to make him the Torah. Not physically, it's on the floor, but conceptually. The Torah is there, but Kol Yisrael aren't plugged into it, so it's a responsibility of leadership to be meirim keren ha-Torah, to raise Kol Yisrael's awareness and acceptance of Torah. So that's the second approach in the Yerushalmi, is that Beis Din Shalmatan. Now this is a reference not to every individual Jew, but to leadership. Leadership has the ability and the obligation to raise Torah. Amar, as Yoshio did, Amar Vasi B'Shem Rabbi Tanchum Barchia, Lomad V'Limeid, Shamar V'Asa. Here you have a Jew who learned Torah, and he taught Torah, and he kept the Torah, he was careful about the mitzvahs lo saseh, he was shomer, and he was careful about the mitzvahs saseh, he was oseh. But he also had the capacity to reinforce others, and he didn't. He was a Noach. He was a great Jew. Privately, a great Jew. But he had opportunities to impact other people, and he didn't. He just lived in his own dalamas. He didn't raise the people around him. Says Yerushalmi, Rabbi Tanachum Barchia, there you go. Hareze bechal aror. That is this aura. So one approach was Rashi's. It refers to every individual Jew, and it means a Jew doesn't keep the Torah. Ramban said it refers to every individual Jew, but it's not about keeping the Torah, it's about the foundation of belief. Do you subscribe to the system? Yes, you sometimes fall. I sometimes make mistakes, but I subscribe to the system. Those are the first two approaches. Then they're calling two approaches from the Yerushalmi. We'll get back to the first one with the Chaz in a moment, but the Yerushalmi dives more into the second one initially, that it's Beis Din Shalmatan, it's leadership, a failure of leadership. And you'll notice that what the Yerushalmi just added, this Rabbi Tanchu Barchia, is don't say, well, I'm not a leader. Oh, the rabbi, he has a chiyuv to encourage other people. The Rebbe, the this one, the that one, someone else, I don't have any job, I'm just me. You might say, I'm just me, I'm 18 years old. You might say, I'm just me, I'm 48 years old. But I'm not a rabbi. I'm a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief. I'm a locksmith or a plumber or a pharmacist. So like, I'm not a leader. So Yerushalmi says, don't make that mistake. If you are personally learning and even giving shiurim and shul, lamad v'limid, and you're personally keeping halacha. You're medaktik halacha, shamar v'asa. But he says, what was the language you me? Sibik b'yadu hachzo hechzik. You had the capacity to encourage others and you didn't. You don't have to, it doesn't matter what your job is. If you are positioned with your social resources, with your personality capacity, you could have had an impact on other people. You could have encouraged other people. You could have been a leader and you weren't. That's not just optional. Jewish leadership isn't like icing on the cake. The Yerushalmi is saying that you get an error if you could have led and you didn't. Wow. This makes Rashi mild. And the Rabban was saying Rashi is very severe. Anyone who does an Aveira. Now we're saying, you personally kept mitzvahs. But you could have raised other people. You could have raised a community. You didn't do it. That also, I raise the bar. That's wild. Leadership, if Yekadosh Baruch Hu gives you the gifts to be able to impact others, that's that gift is also, membership has its privileges and its obligations. He's explaining the second opinion. Right. They all explain the second. This is a third approach. This is the second opinion in the Yerushalmi. That's Bezin Shalmatan, Jewish leadership. You are a leader and you're failing, or you could have been a leader and you didn't step up. Yidrashu, and now the Ramban, up until now is the quote, and now the Ramban will explain some more. Yidrashu b'hakama hazos, Beis HaMelech v'Nasius.
So these Amarav are explaining. You know, the word they use for an explanation is, the verb is yidrashu, it's a drasha. In other words, how's Ramban, with that one word, he's being yashin before in kasha, in this Ramban, and in tens if not hundreds of other Rambans throughout Kurdish, which is, he quotes Yerushalmi, he also gave his own shot. Well, who do you think you are? You're arguing with the Yerushalmi? Ramban's a Rishon, he's arguing with Amorah. What is this? The answer is Yidrashu. In other words, what he said before with Purusha Mikra. Purusha Mikra, he thinks, is belief in Ikari Emunah. Well, there are, Kadosh Baruch gave us the Chumash and told us up front, told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm giving you a text that has multiple layers of meaning embedded in each pasuk. And they're simultaneously true, simultaneously authentic. So Purusha Mikra, the Ramban thinks, is belief in Ikari Emunah, or Rahman al-Salam, Lakhdeva. Then the Yerushalmi is adding up the additional layers of meaning. There, drash, asher lo yakin, means a lack of leadership. Yidrashu, the drash is, and this is term hakama, is based on Melech v'Nasius. The king, the royal court. Something that perhaps on some of our minds now a little more than usual. The impact that people can have in any position of leadership, how you do or don't leverage your role to impact others. In a lot of the conversation, a lot of the more substantive conversation about Elizabeth has been that. Let's think about she was someone who didn't even have any actual political power. She's only a constitutional monarch. She could actually legislate or make decisions of state. She was just a titular head of state. But of some of the more substantive conversations about her, some of the more substantive writing about her has been the way in which. Yeah, she didn't legislate anything. She didn't make decisions about we will go to war, we won't go to war, we will build up the Navy or not, but she impacted a culture. So again, I'm not in a position to, I don't know enough about British culture to know, but some have suggested that she impacted a culture. And she built, there's a fantastic piece in the journal yesterday about how now so many people have listened to what people are saying about her. All across the political spectrum, they're praising her traditional virtues of self-restraint, of modesty, and forethought, traditional virtues. So there's this notion that she may have helped to elevate British society in terms of its ethos, in terms of its values. So I'm not positioned to assess whether she did or didn't have that impact. But that notion of leadership having that impact, and you have the opportunity, what do you do with it? He says, that's your job. They could have encouraged, Yoshio did encourage those who were not keeping Torah to begin to keep Torah. And if you had that opportunity, you didn't do it. You personally big tzaddik. You could have also encouraged other Rishon around you to join you, and you didn't. How is that? Is that karov le'ishep yirash? I mean, that's similar to what I explained before. How is that similar? It's really different. So Chevelle explains in footnote 72 that what's similar about the Ramban's own approach, that Lahakin is to subscribe to Halachic system, to believe, and their approach to Yerushalmi that has to do with leadership, is that neither one has to do with your personal fulfillment of Torah. It's not about did I keep the Torah or not, it's something larger. Either something more basic, do I believe in the Karabuna upon which Torah is built, or it's did I spread my attachment to Torah to others. And then he goes back, finally there's a fourth approach. Remember, the Yerushalmi had said, and opened with a Machlokes, most Yerushalmi was dedicated to Zebez and Shalmata, this is that leadership. But there was that line there about the Chas. Awesome. What does the Gabbai have to do with Asher Eliyahu? Because he keeps everyone, a good Gabbai will keep everyone happy and prevent machlokas, maybe, okay, so he'll encourage a good Gabbai can definitely create a happier, more giving, more mutually respectful culture, okay. It's more than that, different. He says, the Amr, the last five lines of it, it's right after number 72. The Amr Derech Haggadah. It sounds like this is a more distant drash. Zeh HaChazin, she'en will make him say for our Torah, like even Ketikna. What does that mean? But this Chazin is making him say for our Torah. Literally, he makes sure that it doesn't fall over. The Chazin, the Gabbai, sometimes you're in a shul, the guy makes...
So sometimes you have the Gabbai, it will sort of be standing behind the fellow who's putting back the Sefer Torah. He makes sure, like, oh, you know, he didn't close the chain. He makes sure, he lets the Mechubad get his kibbut, but also is looking over his shoulder to make sure that the Sefer Torah is stably put away. That's what Ramban says. The Chazan means that he makes sure the Sefer Torah is stable. Okay, he cares for the Sefer Torah itself. And then Ramban gives another approach to the Chazan. The lean near al Chazan she'eno make him Sefer Torah al Hatzibur. Laharos pene kesiva sola kol. Maybe it has to do with doing hagba. Well, how do you know that why do we do hagba? Who said we should do hagba? Kriyas HaTorah is a Mishnah. Mishnah says, Chazal tells the Gemara caused crisis. That was Takanas Ezra. It's part with Takanas Moshe and later Takanas of Ezra. And later Takanas Tilein from the Torah. But why are you picking the Sefer Torah up? Different kehilos have different approaches. Why they pick the Sefer Torah before you lane or after you lane? But where does this come from? He says it's a Masecha Sofrim. Masecha Sofrim is one of the collections of brises put together by the Gaonim. They are printed in the Shas after Avodah Zarah, at the end of Nezikin. They're called Masechtos Ketanos. Masecha Sofrim is one of the longest ones. It deals a lot of issues of Kriyas HaTorah and other shul-related issues. Masecha Sofrim has a brisa. Masechus Ofrim mentions this, that you pick up the Sefer Torah and you show right, left, front, back. You want to do a full 360, it's probably the easiest way to do it, to make sure that everyone, no matter where you stay in shul, can see the writing in the Sefer Torah. It's an interesting coda, an interesting close. Ramban, he says, so we have a lot of different, this one pasuk is mitpotzeitz into many different approaches. For Rashi, this pasuk speaks to the need for a Jew to keep halacha. Sometimes it's hard, I need to keep halacha. Ramban says, you certainly need to keep halacha, but that's not what the pasuk is talking about. The pasuk is talking about, al pipshuto, he thinks, having the emunah in Torah, and the emunah in Schar V'Onesh that underpins my keeping of halacha as best I can. And then he quoted the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi spent most of its time on the approach of Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, that al derech drash, as Ramban puts it. This is a reference to the importance of Jewish leadership, your ability to impact others, to raise others positively. And if you have that capacity and you didn't, or Asher lo yakim. And then there's also the approach of who, what was his name? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochim, as a Chazan, which Ramban refers also al derech Haggadah, al derech Drash, to the way that you handle a Sefer Torah. Maybe that's what the additional layer what the Pasuk is saying. Where you handle a Sefer Torah positively or negatively. Number one, you make sure it doesn't fall. And not only make sure it doesn't fall, but Haggadah is an opportunity for everyone in Shul to be more connected to the Sefer Torah that you heard. You just listen to Shir is one thing. You look inside, as we know, that's very different. Just to listen to Baal Kari Lane is one thing, but to be more connected to that Torah that you heard, that's the power of Hagba, and that's the power of Baruch Asher Yochim and Arur Asher Lo Yochim, and it is perhaps in a sense similar to the other approach. That is leadership, and here's one example of leadership, is here are people who had a loose connection with the Torah, and here's your opportunity to make it more multimodal. Here's your opportunity to take a whole kehila and elevate the experience you just had. Are you going to take that opportunity and you let it slide by? One little pasuk and a lot of ideas and a lot of practical inspiration and practical expectation that this one pasuk has for us in terms of asiyas hamitzvos, in terms of emuna, and in terms of being doeg not only for ourselves, but being doeg for others as well, spiritually. In addition to our need to be doing for others physically, we have the capacity to, if I have the capacity to have vision for other people could be and to inspire them to join me in that vision. So that's a big part, a significant piece of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of every Jew who is positioned to do that. You should talk about Zocha, to be Mekayim, being Mekim, in all the different senses.